So, tricky situation.
Yeah.
At the gym. And don't, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. If I get recognized, it's okay. Or if I don't get recognized, it's okay. It's all okay. It's all okay. But I'm standing there doing the stretches, and a woman who I've spoken to many times before, and I don't know her, I don't know her name, but at least we've had a chat.
Your gym friends.
Yeah. And she said to me, "Has anyone ever told you you look a lot like Glenn Robbins?"
Oh, no.
And I went, "Oh, that's funny. I'll play along."
Yeah.
Given that we'd already chatted.
She obviously, you thought she was joking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then she, but yeah. That, at start, yeah, the start, yeah. So then, joking, then she goes, you could make a lot of money, you know, doing Glenn Robbins, you know, yeah. I went, oh, yeah, I probably could. She goes, have you ever met him? She said to me, I'm going, the penny's starting to drop now. I'm going, oh, no, I'm in now. What do I do? Have you ever met him? And I go, no, I haven't. I thought, well, anyway, I'll go with it. She goes, I have. And I'm going, do I ask her what he's like or what I'm like? Because then I might go into a
might be bad result. But,
you know, takes himself a little bit too seriously, not as funny as everybody else thinks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, no, I've worked with him. I've worked with him. I had him at a function and now the gig was me at a table and then I got up and warmed up the crowd and then I brought footballers on. Now.
Yeah. That was a long time ago though too, wouldn't it be?
I don't think I've ever. I've never done a football gig. Have I? Never sat at a table. I've never done that. I mean, maybe I have.
If you've done that, that's a long time.
Is that a football gig? That's a football gig.
Yeah. Well, it's like it could be a function for anything.
I don't do the private stuff.
No, you don't do that. No.
So anyway, we've left it at that, and then I turned to the woman next to me, and went, "Oh, that was a bit weird." And she goes, "What was?" And then she said, oh, she thought I was, she wasn't sure if I was me or not. And she goes, who are you? And I go, now I've done. She goes, who are you? And I'm going to go, you know what, don't worry about it. Because then I have to explain,
that's funny.
Yeah.
So, but you'll be seeing her again, that woman.
Well, I know that she does do some gigs. I think she's an agent or something. So, and I know she's worked with some people I know. So if, look,
wow.
Do I say something? What do I do? This is like Beauty and the Beast, isn't it? Like where you write a letter into the panel. And what do I do?
I think next time you go, you pretend you're Glenn Robbins and say, yeah, there's a guy comes here that looks a lot like me.
Ah, so it's a double.
But you better be careful of him. He's like a sex pest or something, I'm not so sure. So you go clean shave next time, and then next time a bit of beard and come and go, hey, how you going? Hey, someone told me Glenn Robbins comes in now.
I look a lot like him, and it's going to explode
that's so funny.
Yeah, I know. Have you ever been?
A guy came. I was with Rove at a movie. You know, this construction worker comes and goes, hey mate, has anyone ever told you you look a lot like Dave O'Neill?
Yeah.
And I went, yeah, that's because I am him.
So you're like, good.
Oh. He goes, oh my god. He goes, and he hands the camera to Rove. Get us a photo, mate.
I know, it's embarrassing when that happens.
And that was at Rove's peak, I have to say. He had his own show on TV.
Rove would have taken that well.
He was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine. I mean, we've all taken photos of other people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've taken many a photo.
It's a delicate situation when that sort of stuff. Because you don't want people to... I don't want to feel... You don't want them to feel embarrassed. And you don't want to become a thing. And then, you know, the one I dislike is that where usually guys come up and go, oh, my wife likes you.
Yeah.
I don't. But can I get a photo for her?
Or my friend over there said you're famous. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Oh,
well, whatever. I'm a comedian.
Yeah. And then they just tell you what you're on. They go, you're famous, aren't you? I go, well, not really. And they go, you're on a TV show. Yeah, well, okay. Well, it sounds like you know. You're on Kath and Kim. Well, why are we having this conversation? You know exactly what you're dealing with, but you want me to know that you don't know. It's just like this psychological play.
Isn't it? That's
and
weird.
It's just, you know, I mean, yeah, first world problem, I know, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's just that embarrassment thing where you just wanted to get it over as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And I told that story before where the woman said, get a photo. The guy said, get a photograph. And I put my arm around his wife and he wanted me to take the photograph. I've told that story before. I apologize. But it can really backfire. But anyway.
Look, you know, to be fair, I've done it to other celebrities. I went to a guy at the supermarket once. I said, did I go to school with you? And he went, I'm in Neighbours.
Yeah.
Then I said, well, what school did you go to anyway?
Yeah. I did it to Billy Connolly. I was on an island in Queensland, and he turned around and went, I didn't say you look like Billy Connolly, but from the back, I thought, God, that guy looks like Billy Connolly. So when he turned around, I went, oh, Billy, g'day. And he was pretty cool, but I just went, oh, no. And then I'm name dropping, I was doing that film Lantana.
Yeah.
And the assistant director came up and said, there's a guy, because a bit of a crowd had gathered, there's a guy out there who looks identical to you, and he always gets mistaken for you. He'd like to come and meet you. And I went, okay. Yeah. So he walks up.
Big fat guy.
I've got to say, I don't think I'm good looking, but this guy was ugly. This guy.
Yeah, he like a very exaggerated chin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just the whole face, you know. Yeah. And I'm just going, I don't want. And he did look like me.
Yeah. But an ugly version.
Yeah. With Russell Coit, we had a body double made up of me, which is. I don't know whether you like a wax, like a waxworks one.
Oh wow!
So I can tell you now because the show's over. But so some of the stunts at the last moment they put the body in.
Yeah.
The rubber body, and then I don't get hit in the head or kicked or whatever.
Yeah.
But meeting it,
freaky,
yeah. Really freaky. Then they when they were off doing other things, they'd often look at me, and the made up me would be sitting up, leaning up against the tree, and there'd be me just standing there staring at myself. And I'm okay, I can deal with me. Yeah.
Like a mirror.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty quiet, and he was pretty quiet too.
Pretty quiet chap. Be weird if they came to the motel room and you got him in bed with you, like sleeping next to you. That just gives me comfort. It gives me a bit of comfort, guys.
Anyway, I realise that these conversations aren't the sort of conversations that, you know, other people have as far as, but so please.
People are intrigued by it, though.
Yes, please don't think that I'm indulging. Oh, I am a bit.
Oh, I love those conversations.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the music anyway. Yeah, anyway, Sam's had enough.
Yes, she's gone. Boring, indulgent, get on with it.
Welcome to the podcast. We're back in the studio, which is exciting.
Well, it is good.
Yeah, we've been doing it remote because of COVID, but we're sort of out of lockdown in Melbourne.
I feel like I'm meeting a TV. I normally see you on a screen. Like, I'm meeting the TV star, you know.
People say I look like Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, and people come up to me and say, God, you're better looking in the flesh. You're pretty ugly on TV. So I go, thanks for that. Have a good day.
Yeah, no problem. I get fat. You're not as fat as you say you are. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, let's get two topics and we've got to work out how they're related.
Yep.
What are they, Sam?
Cowboys and gun control.
Well, it seems pretty obvious, but well, then again...
They go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, well, you think cowboys would have had zero gun control and then therefore maybe... Oh, we'll work it out later, but I don't know. But all I think about when gun control is I think of that Jim Jefferies routine. You know that routine?
Oh, that is one of the great routines.
Fantastic routine.
Yeah, yeah. I can't quote anything, but not only did it make you laugh, it made real logic sense as
well. Yeah, so that's when I thought, gee, he's really good.
Yeah, he's smart. Yeah.
Up until that point, I'd only seen bits of him. I'd never met him or anything. And, of course, he's an Australian who moved to England and did a bit of comedy in Perth. And then he moved to England, and then he got hit on stage. Some guy punched him in Manchester, and someone was filming it. And that's how he got famous in England.
Because he got hit?
Yeah, he got punched. Because he's very, he used to be very aggressive kind of on stage, you know, that kind
of. So a guy got up and
punched him.
Yeah. Because I didn't, this doesn't compare. I did, back in the day in the 80s when I could do Uncle Arthur, you could go to a disco and spin discs. I did Uncle Arthur at one of those big barns out of suburbs of Melbourne.
They used to have celebrities turn up. And I went to one and I think it was Karen Knowles, the Young Talent Time, turned up or something like that.
Hi, everybody.
And throw some singles into the crowd.
Anyway, I got up on stage and I think it might have been an Uncle Arthur lookalike competition or something. But he gets up on stage and he jokingly took a swing at me.
Oh.
And like it was fine. But those sort of places, you can't take a swing at it. And I reckon six
bounces.
Six bounces just to, I don't know whether they beat the crap out of him, but I didn't see him again for the rest of the night. So, you know.
Guys, I was joking. I was joking.
It was a pretend one. Okay, so what are we talking about? Cowboys.
Guns.
Guns.
Guns. Well, guns, gun control. Have you shot a gun? You would have shot a gun in your time.
Well, this is interesting. I'm from that generation where we had a gun at home.
You had a gun? What sort of gun did you have?
Dad had a shotgun.
A shotgun?
In the cupboard. The shotgun. And a .22.
Wow.
Well, he sort of grew up in the country. He was a country boy. Well, he spent a lot of time in the country and a lot of time so they'd go rabbiting and stuff like that, and they'd rob banks well. Yeah.
Kelly,
yeah. So I would often go to his cupboard and pull back and then just push back his his clothes and look at the gun.
See, this is the thing about the difference between America. That's unusual, I reckon, for Australians. Oh, because people have a gun.
Yeah.
Because me and my brothers always say, if we had guns, if my dad had guns, we would have used them for sure.
Oh, you would have.
Oh, we would have taken down
the panic.
I've
read your book. You'd blowing shit up, you know, for sure.
We would have got those guns out. My brother, oh my God. My brother made guns. He made his own, sort of tried to make his own guns. But
we had slug guns as well. My other brother had a slug gun where we'd do all sorts of things in the backyard with setting up with targets and all sorts of things. And you know.
But they were good fun.
They were good fun. But having said that, you know, you could blind someone. You could.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you hit someone with a slug gun, it really hurt.
It was a great moment at my house when I didn't have one, but I think Noddy had one. He brought it over.
Noddy had a slug gun.
Had a slug gun, and he brought it over. I said, "Just give us a go, mate." And it was getting to, and the street lights came on, and I went to the street light, took it out.
Oh, you're
one of the best moments of my childhood shooting that street light out.
What are they called? Hawkeye or something? What do they call you, like a sharp eye or something? They got a special name.
Shooter. You're like an assassin.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love those. And then there was potato guns. We had them too.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd stick it in. You'd beg mum for a potato.
Yeah, and you'd punch it in.
Punch it in and then shoot it.
Fuck. Thwack.
See, my kids would have loved those guns.
But what have they got now? Nerf balls. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. They've got Nerf guns and they have Nerf wars and stuff.
Yeah, but they're
pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. But you know.
But also they all want to do laser tag and they all want to do paintball as the other thing they want to do.
Apparently paintball hurts when it hits. Have you been hit by a paintball? How hard did it leave a bruise?
Yeah. We did a radio promotion. I can't remember what. And you go up in the out fringes of Melbourne and they got a paintball course. And it was me and maybe Dicko versus the listeners. And we were, what's it? You know, we were hedged down. We were like surrounded and by the listeners.
Hunkered down.
You hunkered down in like a trench. And I'm just like, oh, fuck this. And so I ran. I did the classic. Whoa! And they just shot me. And it got me. I can still remember it got me just below the testicles, right?
That was. Did you have a protector on? You'd have to have a protector on. Because if you got a ball.
If you got it there, it would kill you. But yeah, it went. Yeah, you sort of wore leg things and like a box, maybe, like you're playing cricket.
You'd have
But it got past. It got in between it and hit me on the flesh through the jean, and it stung.
So that was it for you?
Oh, I retired after that.
Yeah, and have a cup of coffee. Go and have a donut.
I retired. I remember my brother Trev, they did it for a corporate event when he's in the corporate world, and he just sat in the bar with a sign saying conscientious objector around his neck. He refused to play.
That's good.
Which is a good idea because I tell you, when it hurt, it really stung, and it stung for days, and it bruised.
Oh, really? For days? Yep. Yeah, well.
Laser tags, better, but laser tag. The problem is that you'll send the kids along to play, right? So say if you've got 5, 10-year-olds, and they turn up, and the laser tag people go, all right, well, you're playing this group. Oh, they're 18-year-old blokes. You know, so these 18-year-old who take it really seriously are just shooting these kids. Mm. Like, anyway.
I read somewhere that said, how do you know if you really love someone? And the test is, would you take a bullet for them?
Yeah, right.
I mean, for kids maybe, but for your partner, maybe you take a flesh wound. You wouldn't take one in the head.
No, well, you're dead if you take one. I mean, would you wear a vest and take a shot? Yeah, because that was one of the first things that that Jackass guy did. He became famous for putting a vest on and then got hit.
Yeah,
guy shot him. Yeah, he got a guy to shoot him.
And what did he? How do you?
Oh, he fell over and really hurt because it bruises you. It's like.
Yeah, apparently it's just like a punch. Oh, no.
Very
punch. Incredibly hot.
Yeah.
But then there are people who don't know they've been shot and have kept on because they're so adrenalized. You know. But
did your dad ever shoot the .22 or?
Yeah, you would have bit rabbits and stuff, but it was kind of like you weren't allowed to look at it. But I mean, the shotgun was it? Maybe we didn't have a shotgun. I don't know, but it was an intimidating thing. He never ever pulled it out, or he never ever, you know, like walked down the hallway going, "You kids."
Yeah, that'd be a good trick. I tell you what, yeah, get the gun out.
It'd settle you down. But what is it? So in the US, right? Is it the 10th Amendment, the right to bear arms?
Yeah, I don't know. They're crazy. They've got the NRA, you know, that always. The huge lobby group, the National Rifle Association.
Yeah, and they're incredibly powerful. Yeah, so incredible. It's so political that if they outlaw it, then their chances of getting back in are absolutely compromised.
Well, some of the things that they try to do, like after Sandy Hook, was where the primary school got, you know, a mentally unwell young man when he shot, I think it was over 20 kids and teachers. Mm. They tried to get amendments after that, and they couldn't get... And I think all they wanted to do was... If you go and buy a gun at, say, Kmart, you've got to have identification or get a background check. I think that's what they wanted.
I know.
Because in some states you can just, you know.
Because sometimes they go, "He's got a gun." And you go, "Why are you surprised?" Because they're everywhere. And, you know, it's just. But I've never, you ever shot a handgun or anything like that? I've never.
So in Scouts, of course, we did clay pigeon shooting, which was great. Oh,
that would be fun.
Pull. Yeah. And the thing flies up in the air. You go, poof. That's a shotgun, I think.
Yeah, and it's because you have a different number of pellets, like lots of pellets. So the more pellets, the broader the amount of space that you can shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was... have we ever shot a pistol? No, I've shot a machine gun.
Oh! What, are you a rapper?
No, in Vietnam. We were in Vietnam on a holiday years ago, before I had kids.
You could go and do it.
Yeah, you could go and shoot an AK-47.
So rather than go for, you know, get a massage or go for a little swim or, you know, get your hair braided. Everyone else got their hair braided. What did you do? Oh, shot a machine gun.
Yeah, me and Mark O'Toole, another comedian, writer guy, we were all there together. There was a group of us together. Kate was there, Lambrook, and none of the girls wanted to shoot the machine guns. Only me and Toolman did, I think. But they're quite violent in terms of the kickback.
It's hard to hang on to them.
I don't know how anyone can shoot anyone with a machine gun because you'd have to be very fit and strong to hold it for a start.
I can only compare it to a shotgun, and the kickback's shotgun.
Bad, big.
If the butt is away from you, you've got to push the butt right in, and then the body goes with it. But if it's not, there's a gap there. It just punches you right in the shoulder. And, you know, and if someone's running at you, I mean, let's just say you're a – because that's the problem with the short-butted rifled guns is if someone's running at you, the aim that they have on those guns is really quite random.
Mm.
I said it to a policeman. He goes, "You see that lamppost over there? If I shot at that now, I probably would miss it." And he was 20 metres away. So if someone's running at you with a machete – I don't want to get into the whole police violence thing and the whole thing, but
they aim for the body. Shooting a gun would be. I mean, most police go through their careers without even shooting a gun. They're pulling the gun out.
Yeah, you know? But I, you know, when I walk up to the police, I always look down to see if it's
the gun.
Yeah, see if it's, you know, it's because it's got that leather fold over the top.
Yes,
you know, and you can just unclick it, and then there's the safety, of course.
Yeah. For a cop to let off a gun now, there's a whole inquiry and stuff into it. If you shoot, you let off a bullet.
I was reading the other day something in the US. It's like, I mean, we talk about COVID, but 38,000 people were shot, murdered last year in 2018.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. And what part of that, the right to bear arms, I mean, and then you see, where was that? Those people were out the front of that. Where were they at front of the house when they had some?
Oh yeah, the people marching past.
Yeah,
as Black Lives Matters, I think. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And that guy's running for Senate now. That guy. The middle aged couple with the guns.
If you outlaw guns, only the outlaws will have guns.
Oh, it's scary. And what about in the places like, I don't know what states they are, where they can openly carry guns?
I know.
And they went into Congress. They went to their state parliament and just stood around.
But how have we progressed from the cowboy time? If we can walk down the street with a gun on your
head? Well, at the moment there's a protest, I'd say, at Parliament in Melbourne. It'd be like there, guys just standing there with guns.
Yeah,
it'd be so scary.
I remember landing in Thailand though. Was it Thailand? Yeah. And then looking out the window and the people standing on the tarmac,
machine guns. Yeah.
Welcome.
I remember that in Spain, places like that, or when we were in France. a few years ago, you just walk down the street and there'd be a gendarme with like a holding a machine gun, and the guy said, "Oh, that's because of the terrorist threats and stuff." They were just positioned around the city, ready to go.
Yeah,
ready to go.
So we can.
They're scary guns.
There's no, you know, there's no problem in this country. So what do we have? Amnesty.
What happened after Port Arthur? The massacre there. John Howard did the best thing he did in his political life was he outlawed automatic weapons, I think it was. And so there was a gun amnesty where you could give back your gun. My brother had some. He had to give them back. He had some guns and he had to give back. And of course, John Howard famously wore the bulletproof vest when he went to speak at the gun people in, was it Gippsland or somewhere? Yeah, and they reckon there was a threat against him, so he wore a bullet. He regrets it now. He says in his book he regrets it. He wore a bulletproof vest
openly, as in
because they thought he was going to get shot. If you're going to shoot me in the head. Oh, Jesus! Oh, Christ! But that was that was a good thing he did, you know, because that was Port Arthur was an example of a guy mentally unwell.
Yeah.
Got access to guns.
They're still out there, aren't they? They're still out there.
Oh, if you really wanted to get them, you could get them. I mean, criminals out there.
Do you know people?
Oh, I know people.
I know people.
A few dodgy people.
I can make a couple of
My theory is, though, the mentally unwell person is not going to know those people in most cases, I reckon. You know what I mean?
Let's hope so.
I think most people these days have guns are criminals.
I'm just looking out the window. There's a guy standing over the street over there looking a little bit odd to me. He's just wandering up and down. Maybe. Move on, mate.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Citizen arrest. Yeah. Citizen arrest. Let's talk about cowboys.
So the cowboy was a rustler. He was
I'm no expert, but what's that show I've been watching? Yellowstone. Have you watched Yellowstone with Kevin Costner? He's a rancher, but they're like cowboys. They're modern-day cowboys.
So it's all in terms of cattle.
Yeah. But there was also outlaws and stuff. But you're right. They were originally to rustle the cattle, herd the cattle and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah.
And it was post-Civil War or around the Civil War, because a lot of the cowboys were ex-Civil War soldiers, apparently.
So that, I just reread A Fortunate Life, and that's a good book. But hey, that's how he started out, just going out on the prairie.
Who's that by, A Fortunate Life?
Albert Facey.
Yeah, right.
With a group of guys, you go out for 2 months, just herding and bring them back, and then sell them and get the money at the end. So you're out on the road, whatever, for a long period. So you spend a lot of time with other men.
It actually originated from Spain, and they brought the horses over to North America. And so there's Spanish cowboys, you know, that would herd. Because Spain's a really big country, and they have cattle there too. And then, of course, Americans became famous for it. But then, of course, there's like, you know, Australian cowboys.
We did a herding scene in Russell Coit, and I don't know how to ride a horse well enough, so they put me on a quad bike. But we were actually really herding, but the cows were running everywhere. I didn't know what to do. I just drove around and they took a couple of random shots of me going past the cattle. I'm thinking, hard work.
Oh, man, it'd be really hard work.
Yeah, because if a cow zigs when it's meant to zag, you can go, you know.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's a skill.
Yeah.
You know, the cowboys.
So what do you wear? You wear a 10-gallon hat?
Yeah.
You wear a shirt with a hanky tied around your neck or a scarf around your neck. You wear
jeans. They tend to wear jeans.
It'd be Levi's, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. A pair of cowboy boots, which are still kind of cool, aren't they?
They're
even
cool.
Now.
They're still cool.
A chisel.
Chaps.
Chaps, yeah, because that would be to protect you from when riding.
Riding a horse is hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
You got to get in the rhythm with the horse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can't be going up when they're going down.
I just remember doing it at school and the horse started to gallop towards its stable. I'm bloody terrified.
Oh, yeah, that was when they turned for home.
Yeah, they turned for home.
Yeah, slow going out and turned for home. Oof. Yeah, and then they just take off. And you like to think you're in charge, but you're not.
You're just screaming, hanging on as a kid.
And they know if you don't know what you're doing, they can tell. Whereas, you know, you've got to be, you know, manhandle them, so to speak, and then they'll know. But
what are the great cowboy movies? I'm trying to think of the great. I mean, there was Unforgiven, which is a more recent one.
Yeah, that's a great film. Yeah, it was all the John Wayne stuff was big. Yeah, he was like the.
John Wayne.
Huh? Was it? I'm not gonna hit you. to hell I'm not. That was bad, sorry.
And, you know, Fistful of Dollars and all those ones.
Oh, yeah, that was that spaghetti western.
They were shot in Italy or Spain.
Yeah, and they were a combination of dubbed and...
Yeah.
What are you looking at? Don't you go for your gun. Howdy, partner.
Howdy, partner.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a big part of American folklore. And when we were kids, we played cowboys and Indians, for sure.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people have often said, oh, you know, you shouldn't allow kids to play with guns. I play with guns. The very first photograph of me is in a...
plastic gun?
Yeah. I mean, nowadays it's a Spider-Man outfit.
Yes.
Back in our day, it was a cowboy outfit.
Oh, yeah.
I had a cowboy... it's a great shot of me. I must be about 3. And with the full outfit on and no teeth. And I looked like a mini cowboy. But, we were shooting things all the time.
Yeah.
And it was... it's disgusting to think of it, but you were made to hate Indians
no one wanted to be an Indian too.
Yeah, because they were the bad guys. Going, no, they weren't. You know, the land was taken from them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, look, you have to wonder about the life, you know, out on the prairie, sitting around campfires at night.
Well, that's how bush getting was invented. I read this once because they're all men and... they wanted to dance, and they would sing too. They would sing to keep the cattle.
Harmonica and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, harmonica. And they would also sing. The singing would calm the cattle, apparently.
Ah.
Yeah, so they had all those cowboy songs they'd sing. And also it was a signal to the person way over there looking at the other head when they would look out at night or whatever, to be on the lookout for whatever predators and stuff. They would sing to each other, the cowboys. I'm over here.
Don't you go getting lonely in the middle of that and think you can come over into my sack.
It's not boot scooting world.
Boot scooting. Yeah, but I've got to admit, when you see a group of people, even if it is boot scooting, doing it, it looks really good. We did some boot scooting in Kath and Kim, I think, at Kel's. Was it Kel's birthday?
It's impressive.
Kel's 50th, I think we did some boot scooting.
Yeah, in the backyard?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we had one of those Bronco things out the back as well, and Kim got on that. But when people do it together, it just looks good, and it feels good. That line dancing, that's what they call it.
Yep.
And then went through a period where it was quite popular in Australia.
And Don't Break My Heart, Make You Break Your Heart, that made it sort of.
Break My Heart.
Make You Break Your Heart. But yeah, it's sort of like a, yeah, apparently they created it so they wanted to dance, but they didn't want to dance together, so they could dance individually in a line.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't like, you know, like partnering
doing the waltz. Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
You do that. We'll do it in a line, and then we'll clap and a wall turn, go around the other way.
Five,
but we
six,
won't.
Seven,
because
eight.
The barn dance was big during that period too, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah. So you form a circle and you.
But see, that involved women.
Yes.
Dancing.
Yeah,
yeah. We used to do that as kids too.
But I used to love the callers.
Round and round, great.
2x2, grab her in the thing, and ready to do.
Cowboys. What else can we say about cowboys?
Well, we had, I mean, you know.
1 in 4 were black, which is not often represented in movies.
I didn't
just
know
made
that.
A black cowboy movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're ex-slaves, you see. And it was just like a life of freedom. So,
and while they were out with the cattle, would they be attacked by Indians? Is that when they put the wagons in a circle?
Yeah. But they didn't. I don't think cowboys had wagons. That's more settlers, like Little House on the Prairie, those types. What was it? The Oregon Trail. Remember those books as a kid?
Yeah,
the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I think there was more. But the Indians more often than not got on with worked out a way to get on with them. But there was definitely attacks, happening. There was some.
That's
kind
terrible.
Of,
yeah, I mean, there was some payback. There was some payback stuff. That what was the one? Wounded Knee. Was that
Wounded in the Battle.
That was shocking.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
before. Yeah.
I don't know what else we can really say.
Well, let's have some thinking music. We need some thinking. What sort of cowboy stuff you got? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Could we have a scene? We could have a scene. City Slickers. That was a movie where you could pay to become
a cowboy. Cowboy.
And that was the famous. What was his name? The
old guy.
The old guy got Academy Award, and then he got up on
push-ups.
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal. Yeah. I can't remember the old guy's name. Oh, we're having a noble moment.
Yeah.
Sure,
Jack Palance.
Oh. Nailed it.
Yeah. Hello, Ross, if you're listening. Got that one. But that was a good one. We're going to have a clip from that. Or Gun Control. Could we do...
play some of Jim Jeffries' routine.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Oh, we could do a make-believe with cowboys. Let's do a make-believe with cowboys.
Okay. What, round the campfire?
Round the campfire at night. And maybe this is the origin of line dancing.
Are you, we're going to recreate the moment that it was invented.
It was invented.
And it's going to be your idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and I'll be there. Okay. So, Sam, we need a little bit of crackling of a fire and maybe some owls hooting in the background.
A bit of mouth organ, maybe?
Maybe a bit of mouth organ. Yeah. And it's a warm night.
It's a warm night.
And they're just sitting around the campfire. Are we allowed to do American accents?
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, of course we can.
That's the one accent we can do without offending
American, anybody. Irish, English.
They're all on the whiteboard.
You can't do Indian.
No,
can't do
Chinese. No.
You can't do Black American, but we can do like cowboy American.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Well, sure is a beautiful night tonight.
Oh, yeah, boy. It's pretty good down here. And tell you what, though, I wouldn't mind a little bit of dancing.
Dancing? I got to say, I know the Pride of Erin. I know the two-step. I know a little, maybe we could organize a little barn dance where I can call it, and I'm more than happy to be the lady.
Well, no. We got no ladies here. We don't need no pretend ladies. So
what are you saying?
Well, what we do, we stand up, okay? Let's all stand up there.
Okay. Let's put my harmonica down there.
Yep.
Okay, I'll just put our guns away.
Put the guns away.
Okay, put the guns away.
We don't need the guns. Put your grits down.
Okay.
Put your grits down, boys.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So what we do? We're just gonna stand in this line. Okay, line up.
Whoa.
No, not so close. Not so close.
What do you mean so close? I may want to put my arm in yours and go round two by two and form a circle and do-si-do. I love a do-si-do.
No. This is like we're just going to dance by ourselves.
Okay, I'll watch you. Okay, what? Show me what you want me to do.
Okay, put your thumbs in the top of your pants belt.
Yeah, got it right there.
Okay, and on 5, 6, 7, 8, we'll go heel-toe. 5, 6, 7, 8, heel-toe. Slide. Oh, hey, don't grab onto my waist.
Well, I just thought that maybe I'd form a little line behind you there, and we could go heel-toe all the way.
It's not a conga line.
But I like it. You're leading me, and I'm following. So I can't touch you at all?
No, it's individual dancing. All right, just keep your distance there.
Okay, take me through it one more time.
Wayne. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Heel and toe. Clap my hands. Slide. Turtle circle.
Oh, my God. Don't pick me up and spin me around.
It just came to me. I seen them do it, and I likes to do it. I want to put you up on my shoulder. What do you think? I got a whole lot of moves. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Dancing's over, boys. Let's go back to the fire.
What? Okay, well, I get out the marshmallows, and I pull out my harmonica, but I got to say, I love to do that boots.
And you look mighty fine in that dress.
Yeah, you know, amazing. It scares me about those make-believes. I was there.
I was there too. And what's the Mel Brooks movie? Well, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah, the
farting
scene.
that.
That was groundbreaking in its time. Everyone talked about that. It was quite funny. Okay,
have a guess. What's your guess?
Well, I think they were the ones that – I think the laws were set in terms of cowboys. The gun laws were set in terms of cowboys and saying you have a right to bear arms under threat. And it's so the laws go right back to that time. I mean, that's not a great answer. It's fairly obvious, isn't it? What do you think?
Gun control. I think gun control started because of the cowboys.
Well, that's sort of kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I don't actually know, but I'm just saying maybe it started in that era because guns were out of control. Maybe there was no gun control with these guys.
But they passed the law in terms of the cowboys rather than in terms of people living a normal life.
Okay, what is the answer, Sam?
Frontier towns by and large prohibited the carrying of dangerous weapons of any type, concealed or otherwise, by persons other than law enforcement officers. Most established towns that restricted weapons had few, if any, killings in a given year. In some cases, cowboys were required to hand over their guns before entering town. They would receive a token so they could get their guns back when they were leaving.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a bit like when you go to a concert now, you've got to check your phone in?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, how does that work?
Well, they give you I know one of my friends would see Chris Rock and they give you a little bag you could put your phone in.
But do you hang on to your phone?
Yeah.
But can't you just take it out of the bag?
No, it's sealed somehow.
So they unseal it for you when you leave?
Yeah.
But you hang on to your own phone? Yeah. Oh, because I've been to meetings where they go phones in, it all goes into a box and you're going, they're all iPhones. How are you going to know which is. Anyway.
What meetings are you going to? Security Council for the UN?
So they would hand the guns in
to the sheriff.
To the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I wonder how he did it. Is it like getting a pair of 10 pin bowling shoes? You know, with 10 pin bowling?
Yes.
You go, which shoes did I wear again?
Or when you go and they lose your coat and you come back and go, I got a 44, I got a 22. Yeah. That's not mine. Someone's got your good gun.
Yeah. And the chances of it going off when you were handing it back. And
what about losing your token? You go to the Western Bar.
I did have a gun. I really did, but I've lost my token. Oh, I don't know, mate. Seriously.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So imagine if I reckon if we came here today to do the podcast, I reckon we would take our guns off, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we'd leave them outside.
Because it wasn't that thing where you go, I turn up to him, say you're a good guy and I'm a bad guy. Mm. We turn up for a meeting about some trouble.
Yeah.
In town, we put our guns on the table.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was that thing where...
They have a shotgun underneath the table.
Oh, yeah, well, they have one down. They have a shotgun in the back of their pants and they have one down in their sock. Imagine how heavy that would be.
But imagine how many accidents there were.
Blowing your foot off, blowing your balls
parts
off. Yeah. What happened to you? God.
Had disagreement.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're lucky that we live in the land of Oz, where it's an issue, but not a big issue. And I imagine back in, because our cowboys were like bush rangers, really, weren't they?
Well, yeah,
bush rangers were just outlaws, though, weren't they?
Criminals.
There was nothing about that they did was they would take from the rich and they wouldn't.
Well, I mean,
give
Ned Kelly was interesting because Ned Kelly wrote a whole manifesto about the Giraldry letter. And where he believed that they were getting discriminated against because they were Irish immigrants and stuff. It was a whole manifesto on how he wanted to take over the country and all this kind of stuff.
So yeah, was he a little distorted in his thinking?
A little bit unibomber, I think. But, I mean, my apparently great-great-granddad stole horses for Ned Kelly. My nana always used to say.
What have you been on that TV show, have you? What's it called? Where do you think you've been or where do you think you're going?
Where do you come from?
Surely
you've been asked to go on that. I want to see you on a cliff with a scarf.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Always a simple other show. I always go, you've never worn a scarf before. Why are you walking down the beach like that with a scarf and the wind blowing through your hair? Why are you looking out to sea?
Well, Denise Scott did it, you know. She's like, I don't know, whoever, Ray Martin went to Malta. And so-and-so
went to Geelong, did she?
Yeah, she went to Bendigo.
Yeah, Bendigo.
And stayed overnight. She's like, why am I staying overnight in Bendigo? 2 hours of Melbourne.
The problem is you don't know where you're going to, because they know where you might go. So that's how they go. Because they've maybe had a little look at you.
Yeah.
At your genealogy.
Yeah.
And gone, he's a Wonthaggy. Yeah. He's a cheap one. I would have been Irish, I think. So I probably would have got it. What's your heritage?
Yeah, Irish and English.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dad, as we were talking about Kev before, he's didn't know his father, and he came from a very remote part of WA called Bruce Rock, and he looks Aboriginal a little bit. So
really?
Yeah, we thought, well, I remember in Scouts, a kid turned up and said, who's the Aboriginal leader? I said, oh, that's my dad. He's not. But if you look at old photos of him, yeah, he was very dark, Kev. But
so you're part Aboriginal?
Well, who knows? But you're on my land.
Well, hang on. What about this? You didn't realise I brought this with me today. Look at that.
Oh, it's a gun. You got your dad's shotgun.
I'm in trouble. With a capital T.
Ooh.